So this story of Jesus' triumphal entry, I don't know about you, but it reads to me like Luke, the gospel writer, is competing against Tom Clancy for best spy novel of the year. I don't know if you paid attention to that, but I mean, you just get it. Here's Jesus. He's up in the trees on top of the Mount of Olives, all right? And it's early in the morning and the sun's behind him and he's peering out over Jerusalem and he's enshadowed by the sun. He's enshadowed by it and his disciples are there and he's looking out over Jerusalem and thinking, and he leans down and he whispers to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. Right as you go in, you'll find there tied a colt of a donkey that has never been ridden. I want you to untie it. Bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it." To me, this has Thriller written all over it, all right? There's a password in everything. The Lord needs it. It makes me wonder, all these movies make me wonder how the people who are given these passwords that are super, like, complex or, like, so commonplace, I would just forget them, and yet nobody writes them down, and they remember them perfectly. If I was, you know, I'd never get that part of the movie, and so I'd give the wrong thing, and then, boom, the book would be over. But the disciples apparently figured it out. They remembered the word. So Luke tells us in verse 32 that those who were sent departed. The disciples departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Something's really strange going on here. What's with this colt that's never been ridden? Why is that important? Why is everyone tossing coats on the ground? There's no palm branches here. All right, what's Luke doing? All right, why are the coats? Luke just leaves us in suspense, though. He doesn't give us any information. Instead, he just throws us straight into this parade where Jesus is the only one riding on a float, all right? It's like some mob boss or kingpin or American drug lord going down there on this donkey. What's going on here? And then he goes on, as Jesus was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen. And they were singing, "Blessed is the King who has come in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Talk about letting all your enemies know where you are. And of course, they figure it out pretty quick. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, even the stones would shout out." Even the stones. And when I read that, that's when it hit me. This isn't a spy thriller. It's a musical.
One ticket on the Empire Limited departing from New York at 8:30 a.m. Now boarding at track 14.
Fanny, what's the matter with you? Haven't you any pride?
Of course not. I love the guy. He loves me. I want to be with him. It's that simple.
Fanny, can't you see you're making a fool of yourself?
Georgie, when something's right for me, I do it, and this is right for me.
Have you asked yourself if it's right for Nick?
I'll make it right for him.
Fanny, don't think you're...
Oh, back out this way. Fanny, don't do it.
Don't quit.
Don't
tell me.
Don't. Tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly, I simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? I'll march my band out, I'll feed my drum. And if I'm found out, your turn at bat, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether I'm the rose of sheer perfection or freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder or the shiny apple of its eye, I gotta fly once, I gotta try once, only can die once, right, sir. Ooh, life is juicy, juicy, and you see I'm gonna have my bite, sir. Get ready for me, love, 'cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring around a cloud of rain on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Get what I want, I know how. One roll for the whole shebang. One throw, that bell will go clang. Eye on the target and wham. One shot, one gunshot and bam! Hey, Mr. Armstead, here I am. Guess I didn't make it. Get ready for me, love, 'cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart to drummer. Nobody, no, nobody is coming. Rain on my
Amen. We're done. All right. So I thought about asking Julia to sing that, but she chose that other song that she sang, and so. Apparently that's like a remarkably difficult song to sing, so I'll leave it to the experienced people to tell me otherwise. Two things really stick out to me whenever I read the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The first thing I think we'll have to call the Barbra Streisand point, all right? You just can't rain on his parade, all right? You can't do it. It's Jesus' parade, and there's nothing that's going to stop it, all right? That's what we get here. Nobody wants to mess with Barbra, right? Nobody's going to do that, and you sure don't want to mess with Jesus. So from the moment Luke starts telling this story, from the very beginning, Jesus is in control, okay? And this reminds us of one of the most fundamental facts about salvation, that it's God's doing. This is God's work here, all right? God is the primary agent. We're just kind of along for the ride, all right? We're along for the ride. We can choose to join in, or we can choose not to. But the salvation of the world doesn't depend upon us. It depends upon God, all right? And this story here has that idea in spades. From the very beginning, when Luke starts talking about Jesus standing up there on the Mount of Olives and him orchestrating all these sorts of fanciful things going on in Jerusalem with passwords and whatnot, the whole picture is that he's in control. He's so far in control, he's got this wild, untamed donkey obeying him. All right, this is all over the place. And so he's not just hopeful that this thing is going to turn out well. Jesus is certain. All right, there's nothing going to stand in his way. And that goes beyond just the parade. Jesus has the whole next week figured out. All right, all the way from the upper room where he and his disciples celebrate the Lord's Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweats blood, right? To the Garden of Gethsemane, to the foot of Pilate, and then up onto the Mount of Calvary, onto the cross, down into the tomb, and then again 3 days later, resurrected from it. Jesus has this under control. There's no reigning on this parade. All right, this is what we call destiny. It's providence. All right, and yet the second thing that really sticks out in this passage is that the people do join in. That it's not just Jesus' parade, there's a whole bunch of other disciples there right along with him. All right, they're singing right along with him. All right? This isn't just a lonely one-man show, okay? Barbra Streisand spent most of that song moving from, I think it was train to cab to boat. We even had this weird, awkward interlude where you were wondering if that was the end of the song or not. Where she's just with nobody. All right, where's this guy? I felt bad for Barbra, right? But that's not Jesus. That's not this story, all right? People are doing what he says from the very beginning, and they're cheering him on. The whole crowd of disciples, Luke tells us, began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they were singing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Glory to God in the highest." All right, here they're saying, here, finally is a king that's going to save us. Finally, there's a king here who's going to free us from all the slavery, all the oppression, all the really steep taxes that the Romans are bringing upon us. Here's this king, all right? We love him. Woohoo! And yet we know how the story ends, right? We can skip ahead to next Sunday. We know that every one of these disciples ultimately falls away, even the chief of them, all right, even Peter. They don't understand why Jesus has to die. They don't understand why Good Friday has to come. Maybe the thing is they really can't understand it yet. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. He's like a conquering king. All right, this guy is real royalty, they think. They even start singing a psalm based on that. Psalm 118, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," except they change it to "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They know that this guy is the king, all right? That's what all that throwing their cloaks down in front of him was meaning. That's putting your cloak before the one who is proclaimed king. All of it, Luke is suffusing all of this with this language of kingship. They know Jesus is a king, but they don't know what kind of king he is. They know he's a king, but they don't know what kind he is. They certainly don't think he's going to end up on a cross. The question you see for us every year, every Holy Week, is this. Will we still be singing? Will we still be singing on Friday? Will we still be singing when Jesus' parade stops at the top of that hill? Or we just let the stones do it for us? That's the question. Do we really believe that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins? Do we really believe in a God whose power lies not in domination and coercion, but in love and sacrifice? The great big test of this week, of Holy Week, is if we can march with Jesus' parade from the Mount of Olives to the Mount of Golgotha, to Calvary. Can we march all the way through Holy Week? Can we go through Maundy Thursday, into Good Friday, through the deep dark of Holy Saturday, and come out with Jesus from the tomb on Easter Sunday? Can we do it? Can we do it? That's the test. Are we going to join in Jesus' parade? Or are we going to let the stones do our singing for us? A couple weeks ago, we described the moral life as FNAFI, all right? Find a need and fill it. Acronyms. If you don't like acronyms, I borrowed that one from John Dick. Blame him. All right? We said we could summarize what it means to live the holy life by living out that motto of finding a need and filling it. All right? But today's story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem reminds us of what we also talked about last week. That the Christian life includes more than just the moral life. We aren't just righteous for righteousness' sake. We want to be righteous because that's the good life. That's what it means to be truly human. It's what we were made for. And most importantly, that the holy life is the life with God. It means community with God. To be holy is to be with God. As people who believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, all right? It's people who believe that he's the only one who can bring peace in heaven and on earth, like the disciples were singing there at the triumphal entry. As these people, we've got to believe that we have the awesome, the wonderful duty to tell everyone about this. Why wouldn't we? In fact, I think we would say we have the privilege to sing with them that same song, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." If you're wondering how we can join into Jesus' parade today, the first way then is by just by worshiping him, by singing along, by carrying those palm branches like our kids. That's the first way. Because if we don't, it's just going to pass us by. So the first way we join Jesus' parade is by worshiping the King. The second way is by witnessing to the fact that this King isn't like all the other kings. All right, he's the crucified King. He's the one who brings life out of death. He's the God who reaches down into the deep darkness of our lives and frees us from all the sin and evil and death that keep plaguing us, always seem to be right on our heels every day. And what's more, he did this by dying on this Roman torture machine, this cross, for our sake, and then rising again 3 days later, opening up the way for us to follow him, right? But not just in the future. This is important, to follow him right here, right now, this very moment, this very place. You see, that part of the gospel message is something that's too often missed. We don't have to wait for Jesus to return. We don't have to wait for the resurrection of the body to take part in the new life that's been opened up for us by Jesus' death and resurrection. We can enter into it today. Today, this very moment. This very moment. Listen to how this is happening right now in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The Democratic Republic of Congo. It is beautiful, its people strong and resilient. But today, millions live in danger under the threat of violence. Every 60 seconds, a woman is sexually assaulted. The youngest generation has only known instability. Over 6 million people have died. This is the deadliest conflict since World War II. Many have struggled for years to mediate peace. Yet, amidst the brokenness, local churches in the DR Congo are responding to the biblical call to seek justice. With deep roots in their communities, local churches are the best hope for restoration. They assist hungry families with emergency food. They raise up farmers so families can be fed. They counsel women and girls who survive sexual assault. They teach families how to save money so they can secure a better future and settle disputes before they turn violent, so lives can flourish again in stability and peace. This happens when churches here choose to be generous, partnering with World Relief to train and empower churches in the DR Congo. To date, the local church has positively impacted thousands of lives, living out the whole gospel through word and deed. But millions more still need our help. The need is urgent. Lives depend on it. The church is the answer. Join us.
I chose World Relief because this is an example of what we're talking about, resurrection life being realized today. They're doing really remarkable work with women in the Congo who have suffered sexual and other forms of gender-based violence. And so the churches that they're talking about aren't just talking about Jesus, they're actively marching in his parade, all right? They're helping victims of such violence discover the fullness of Jesus' resurrection right here and right now. Take Amaranth, for example. She was out bathing next to her home with a few of her friends when she was 15, when a number of guys came up and grabbed her. Some of her friends got away, but she didn't. They ended up raping her. And in her culture, she couldn't tell anybody. She couldn't tell anybody about this because that sort of violence was understood as being the responsibility of the victim. Couldn't tell her family, couldn't tell her community. She goes to church when she finds out she's pregnant. Can't hide it any longer. And at one of these churches, she finds out that she doesn't have to hide it. That Jesus has paved the way for her to have new life, restored life, resurrection life. World Relief comes in, and they offer, by empowering the churches that are there, the skills and the abilities and the resources to empower women like Amaranth to be able to pick up their lives, to be able to find new life and a new dignity in being in Jesus. They give her not just that hope, but also the skills. They trained her how to do agrarian work, how to farm. And they also brought her into a savings community that helped her be able to build back support, financial support, because she had been cast out from her community. Cast out. Her and her child because of this. That's resurrection life pouring in. All right? Never has there been a better time for us right now to see resurrection life, to join in that parade, than right now. World Relief has joined up with another group from the Northwest called One Day's Wages, a fantastic grassroots project that is doubling whatever comes in through the months of March and April. So right now, whatever you give gets doubled for the Congo. All right, and so if you're curious about where to give, that's you can go to both onedayswages.org or worldrelief.org. Fantastic organizations. I encourage you to look into this after the service today. And so if you don't get that down, you can always call me. You can write a check to the church, and everything you give is going to go straight to the Congo. Everything you give, straight to empowering these women to where the churches can show them the resurrection life of Jesus in their own lives. But the Congo isn't the only way that we can join in Jesus' parade. The opportunities, there's plenty of them right here in Wyoming and Cincinnati. So Scripture tells us that all of creation groans for the redemption that Jesus makes possible this week on the cross and through the empty tomb. At the end of our story for today, Jesus tells the Pharisees that even the stones will cry out. The stones will cry out. Shut up, everybody else, and the stones are gonna cry out. He wasn't just being cute, by the way. He was stating a fact of life, that he came not just to save us, but to save all the world, all of creation, everything from sin, death, and evil. If you've ever talked to Sharon, she was up here this morning with our kids. If you've ever talked to her about her cat rescue, what's going on there is resurrection life. By the way, she has no idea that I'm talking about her right now. And so many of Sharon's kittens are literally on death's door. She lost one on, I think it was Thursday. They're dying. But God has given Sharon this sort of passion and this resurrection life herself to feed that life into these animals, into his creation. This too is a way we can participate in the life opened up by Christ on the cross. If you're looking to join in Jesus' parade, you could give for the love of kittens. It's a fantastic way to see resurrection life poured out in the world around us. Or, if you're really brave, you can foster a cat. Trust me, she's looking for you. All right? You can foster one of these things. They'll change your life. I know, I have two of them. She tells me, oh, you don't want one, you want two. They're brothers, they can't be separated. So I get two. All right? I know the work being done there is a blessing, I'll just put it that way, because it's been a blessing in my own life to one of my own cats that almost died and was, in effect, resurrected. So let me encourage all of us this week to join in Jesus' parade. Don't let it pass you by, all right? This week, let's walk with him. Walk with him all the way to the Lord's Supper on Thursday, all the way up to the cross on Friday, thinking about the depth of his sacrifice on Saturday, and then the glory and the beauty and the promise of his resurrection on Easter. Let's remember there's no resurrection without crucifixion. Jesus brings life out of death, back then, even today, for you and for all the people we can impact. That's good news. Amen.